Good morning. I appreciate the presence of everyone this morning and certainly appreciate the opportunity to be with the Eastside Church here in Shelbyville and appreciate the invitation to study with you this week from God's Word. And we, as our brother prayed, we are encouraged by an opportunity to have a gospel meeting this week, and we hope that all will go well in the Lord there. I'm here by the invitation of Brother Frank Butler, and I appreciate him and his work through the years, and I'll have some more to say about that later, but I appreciate that invitation, and we look forward to a good study this week. I had our brother lead give me the Bible, because normally at this part of our service we would have our Bible study. And I want us to focus on this morning the importance of having God's Word in our lives. So, give me the Bible. And if you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 22, in just a moment this morning, we will be turning to that portion of Scripture and look at the story of the life of Josiah there in a lesson that I want to entitle, Lost in the House of God. When you turn to 2 Kings chapter 22, you find that the background is that the kings before Josiah have been very wicked. There is rampant idolatry and immorality throughout the land with the kings of Manasseh and the kings of Ammon, Josiah's father and grandfather. And the temple is in need of urgent repair. And so in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, he began when he was 8 years old. And so he's 26 years old. In that year, he seeks to rebuild and restore the temple. It has gone into disrepair and disrepute, and God's people are not focusing on worshiping God and having the Word of God in their lives. There's idolatry and immorality in and around Jerusalem and throughout the land. In the process of rebuilding the temple and working on that, they find the book of the law in chapter 22 and verse 8. Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Jehovah. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Verse 9, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have emptied out of the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen that have oversight of the house of Jehovah. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, go ye, inquire of Jehovah for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. In the verses that follow in verse 14, they take the word to the prophet Huldah, who prophesies that God is going to bring judgment upon the land because of the immorality and the idolatry of the people, and that would eventually come through the Babylonian captivity. But we find that it's not going to be in the life of Josiah, because when he heard the words of the book that was read, this lost God's word, he humbled himself. He had a humble attitude. And so read with me, beginning in verse 18. But unto the king of Judah, who sent to you in inquiring of Jehovah, thus shall you say to him, thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before Jehovah, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and as rent thy clothes and wet before me, I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. Therefore, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered together to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And then if you read in chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, the king gathers all the princes and the leaders and the people together, and they gather together in Jerusalem, and they make a covenant that they are going to hear the word of the law, and verse 3, walk after Jehovah's commandments and keep all that Jehovah has commanded. And so first of all, there's the reading of the lost word of God. Secondly, there's a humble and repentant attitude of the king. We need to be doing what is found in the Word of God. Number three, he gathers all the people together and they make a covenant that we're going to walk in the Word of God. We're going to walk by the law of God. And then look at chapter 23, verses 4 to the end of the chapter, or most of the chapter, all the way down to verse 25. These are the reforms that take place in and around Jerusalem, because Josiah and those who have humbled hearts want to eradicate sin from their lives. They want to remove the sin and immorality from their lives. And when you read those verses, you find that they get rid of the idolatry. Number two, they get rid of the houses of the Sodomites that are in the very temple of God, homosexuality in the environs of Jerusalem. They get rid of the horses and the chariots that have been dedicated to worshiping the sun. They reinstitute the Passover and other kinds of reforms. And so what we want to study this morning is a lesson that I've entitled Lost in the House of God. And what we need to understand, chapter 22, verse 8. I have found the book of the law in the house of Jehovah. I want you to let this sink into your hearts and minds this morning, that the book of God was lost in the house of God by the people of God. The book of God was lost in the house of God by the people of God. And you say, well, how could that be? That can be when we've got everything else going on in our life but God's Word. And so it was lost and found. And maybe this morning we need to be reminded of the importance of having God's Word in our life, because in 2011 it may not be the situation where a Bible is lost in the church building. We have Bibles everywhere. But the Bible may be lost in our lives. It's not a central part of our lives as it once should be. And even if it is in a central part of our life, the lesson this morning is to encourage us to keep it there. But it's so easy to let things crowd out the Word of God. And so here they are, digging around in the temple, repairing it, modifying it, making some changes. Hey, we found the law of God. Is that the case in the lives of many people today, that God's Word is lost? The Word of God, lost in the house of God by the people of God. And we have all kinds of things going on today that often distract us and that take the Word of God away from us. Do we spend more time on Facebook or with God's book? Do we spend more time texting than with the text of Scripture? And I'm not opposed to those things. My wife has a Facebook page and my kids have a Facebook page. I don't. I haven't taken that up yet. But there's nothing wrong with that. And every once in a while, I'll send a text on my cell phone. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with modern technology. But the problem is when it becomes the priority, when it becomes the central feature. And so I'm spending more time with the TV and more time with the internet and more time texting on my cell phone than I am in a communication with God and His Word. If we're not careful, we're going to have a situation where we have the Word of God lost in the house of God by the people of God. And yet there's Bibles everywhere, and yet it's lost in our life. And so that's the admonition of our lesson this morning. And so I want to talk this morning about some areas in which, if we're not careful, we can have the Word of God lost in the house of God by the people of God. And I'm sure it's not the case here, and I hope it's not the case here, but often I see in other situations where what we're going to study this morning is the very case, not only in the religious world in general, but among some of God's people. It's easy just to let the Word of God be lost in our lives. And so this morning I want to look at some areas in which the Word of God is being lost in the house of God by the people of God. We need to be crying, "Give me the Bible." Listen. Children need to be saying to their parents, "Give me the Bible." Spouses need to be saying one to another, "Give me the Bible." The congregation needs to be saying to the elders, "Give me the Bible." The elders need to be saying to the minister, "Give me the Bible." Because we're slowly getting away from that in our society. And so, the book of God can become lost in the house of God by the people of God. For example, there's a loss of Bible knowledge today among many. Hosea 4:6, a well-known passage, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Some do not know the Word of God. Some are not reading the Word of God. Isaiah 34:16, "Seek out the book of the Lord and read." We're spending more time reading other kinds of things. And there's nothing wrong with modern day technology, and my wife and I have that, and my son just 3 days ago had a birthday and he wanted a PSP, he wanted a PlayStation Portable, and there's nothing wrong with playing some games and having some entertainment and free time. But the majority, the priority in our life needs to be the Word of God. I watch the TV, I get on the internet. We have those kinds of things. We're not opposed to those kinds of things, but often they get out of hand. And that becomes and consumes our life, and we're not reading the Word of God. We don't understand what's in the Word of God. Understand what the will of the Lord is. We're not reading our Bibles like we used to. I was raised in a family where Mom and Dad read the Bible every morning after breakfast. We had our Bible stacked up right next to the breakfast table, and that was our daily Bible reading every morning after breakfast. That was a priority in our lives. And I will remember that until the day I die. And we try to have regular times with our own family. We've got to keep the Bible in our lives. I remember one morning the school bus was coming, and we hadn't done our Bible reading. And Dad said, look, you can miss that bus, you can find another way to school, but we're going to finish this Bible reading. We're going to finish this Bible reading. Now, if you need to get dressed quicker tomorrow morning, then you need to get dressed quicker. But we're not going to skip the Bible for the school bus. And so it was a priority in our lives growing up. And we need that in our lives today. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. And yet, in Matthew 22, the Jews had the Scriptures all throughout their life. Moses was read every Sabbath, but they were not paying attention and studying and learning. And the same can happen to us today. Some are not searching the Scriptures like the noble Bereans. Some are not learning. The Scriptures are written for our learning and admonition. Romans 15 and verse 4. Some are not exposed early on, as young Timothy was, who knew the sacred writings from a babe. As parents with young children, are you putting an emphasis on your children having their own Bible, reading their own Bible, taking notes in one of Keith's lessons, preparing those Bible class lessons for Sunday and Wednesday in a regular fashion and in a serious fashion? We would do that with their schoolwork. How much more so God's Word? There's a lack of Bible knowledge among many. We put on our sign Bible classes. And yet, in some Bible classes, and again, hopefully not here, but in other Bible classes, it's everything but Bible. I've attended and have gone on vacation, have sat in an adult Bible class. There may be one verse read in a 45 minute period of time, and a lot of just conversation and chatting. My children have attended Bible classes where it was more about the activities and the coloring than the Word of God. And I have children. My mother was a school teacher. My sister has taught school for over 35 years. I'm very much familiar with the importance of having visual aids and activities that reinforce. I'm very much acquainted with that. But we have to keep that in its place. The Bible needs to be central, even in the littlest classes, all the way up to the adults. If we want to reinforce something, there needs to be a Bible lesson there to reinforce. But my children have been in classes before where the primary thing was coloring, or a crossword puzzle, or Bible hangman. And so it's not activities class. Listen, it's Bible class. I've known situations where more time has been spent decorating the room than spending on the Bible lesson itself. And again, there's a place for visual aid. This is a visual aid. There's a place for that. And a decorated room is a visual aid. But often that becomes the centerpiece and the focal piece. And we're growing up, and then we wonder why later that we're falling away, we're unfaithful, we're unbelievers, we're agnostics, we don't have God in our life. We are losing the Word of God slowly. Number two, there is a loss of Bible reverence. We're not simply to hear the Word of God and read it, but we are to obey it. When you turn to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, when God's people at Mount Sinai heard the Word of the Lord, they said, we will obey it and we will do it. The king, Deuteronomy 17, was to read the Word of God and then go out and obey it. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 11, after Moses preached there across the Jordan before going into Canaan, they heard the words of the law and they said, we are going to do it. One way that we show reverence for God's Word is that we go out and obey it. We're not to be simply hearers only, but doers of the Word. James 1, 22 through 25. Some do not respect the Word of God. When they pick up a Bible, it's just simply the Word of man to them. We need to understand that there's nothing holy about the paper. That's not what we're saying. But the message is the very Word of God. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, when the Word of God was preached, they stood up and said, amen.
the standing up, just like someone would stand up when the queen comes in or royalty comes in, it's a show of respect. We've got to get that respect back in our lives. And I hope that that is the case here.
Do you remember the story of Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 36? When Jeremiah revealed the word of God to his scribe Baruch, and Baruch is reading before the word of God, what does Jehoiakim do to the message?
He takes a knife and he cuts it up and he throws it into the fire. Now, there are people today not literally doing that, but when they hear the message preached, they simply ignore it and walk off. You might as well just be cutting it up and throwing it into the fire.
There's a lack of Bible reverence today. Keith was telling me about one of the newspaper articles where folks are upset that he's just simply putting Bible verses in the newspaper article. You shouldn't be doing that about homosexuality and other kinds of things. There's a lack of respect that what is there is the very Word of God. And I need to take it seriously and listen to it and obey it. It's being demoted to just the level of some man's opinion. And so we're losing respect and reverence for the Word of God. We're not rightly dividing. Another way that we show respect for the Word of God is to handle it accurately. The Greek word there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 literally means to cut a straight course. Orthotomeo. We have orthodontist to straighten our teeth. We have orthopedist to straighten our foot. Orthoscopic. Orthotomeo, to cut a straight course. And when we open up the Word of God, we cut a straight course. We divide it rightly and accurately. We define Bible words in Bible ways. We keep words in their context. That's how we show our respect and reverence for the Word of God. And 2 Timothy 3:16, we accept it as the God-breathed, theopneustos, God-breathed Word of God. It's not just some man's opinion.
How many times do we hear today, well, that's just Paul's opinion. That's just Peter's opinion. You know, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 that men were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was not of some private interpretation.
And so we show our respect by accepting it as the very Word of God. Number three, there's a loss of Bible authority today. We're slowly getting away from, and even in churches of Christ, among some institutional brethren, and maybe in time among some of us, where we're no longer asking for book, chapter, and verse. We're no longer saying, what saith the Scripture? We're no longer asking, where is it in the Bible? It doesn't matter to many people today. We're losing that. We're losing that in our society, and we're losing it in some cases in the church. The Apostle Paul asked in his epistles, what saith the Scripture? Do you know today, it's going to get so badly that if someone were to ask, what saith the Scripture, the response would be, I have no clue. I don't know what the Scripture says. And then we wonder why the next generation will just be going every which way. There's no guidance. There's no moral compass. There's no Word of God. We want our young people to grow up and go the right way in life. They're going to have that guidance from the Scripture. They're going to have to be able to open it up and put their finger on what they believe. God wants us not only to know what we believe, but why we believe it. Why do you practice this? When you come together, and you want your children and your grandchildren to come together and know why they are doing what they're doing. If they don't know that, then they just drop out and become nothing. But in order to do that, we have to open up our Bible. What saith the Scripture? Paul was often fond of saying, the Scripture saith. We need Bible classes and preaching and elders and concerned members who start off with the Scripture. This is what the Scripture says, not what I think and I feel. Some are not doing all in the name of the Lord, meaning by Bible authority. Some are not accepting and applying the truth. We can read the Bible and hear the Bible on a regular basis and yet not apply it. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13 and verse 27, where Paul is preaching in Antioch. He says that Moses is read every Sabbath. Well, the Bible is read every Sunday here, isn't it? Is the Bible read every Wednesday night here? I'm sure it is. But is it applied? Is it understood? Is it applied in our lives? In Acts chapter 13 and verse 27, speaking of the Jews, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voice of the prophets which are read every Sabbath. The voice of the prophets are read every Sabbath. Go back to verse 15. Even on this occasion, it was read before they gave Paul the invitation to speak. They had just got through reading Moses and the prophets. It's read every Sabbath, but they didn't apply it. And so, Their hearts were hard. It was like a veil over their hearts, 2 Corinthians 3:15. There's a loss of Bible authority. You know, there's a loss of Bible preaching and teaching. Some are not expounding the Scriptures and explaining the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection of Jesus, He got His disciples together and He explained to them the law and the prophets. There needs to be Bible teaching and explaining. This is what a word means. This is what a context means. This is what a passage means. Some are not beginning with the Scriptures. They're beginning with jokes and cutting up and having a good time. And the pulpit and the Bible class is about entertainment and fun and games and having a good time. And we've got to keep our young people. So how can we keep it fresh and fun and entertaining, you see? I love the story there in Acts chapter 8 when the eunuch is going along the way and Philip is preaching. And the eunuch says, "Of whom speakest thou, the prophet?" And beginning with this scripture, he preached unto him Jesus. Philip didn't say, "Hey, you know what? I want to entertain you for a little bit. So let me tell a few jokes. I'm going to be a stand-up comedian, 25, 30 minutes, and then we'll do something else." He began with the scripture. It was a Bible-based, Bible-beginning, Bible-foundational lesson. We need that today. Some are not reasoning from the scriptures. Paul's custom in Acts 17 was to go into the synagogue and reason from the scriptures. But in order to do that, we have to know our Bibles. And we have to demand that in the pulpit. And we have to demand that in the Bible class lessons. There's some leadership that's not even demanding that anymore. And so when it comes time for a preacher change, we want somebody to come in that's going to be a little bit more light and fluffy and give us cotton candy. And because the old guy who is Bible-based, he's driving people away and the young people aren't coming anymore. So let's get somebody in that will liven up the show. And so it's not just the preacher per se, but the leadership wanting that. And like Isaiah said, the people love to have it so. We start with the Scripture. So we're losing Bible-based preaching and Bible-based Bible classes. We've been on vacation before, as I said, and visiting around. These are what we call non-institutional conservative churches of Christ. We come in, we sit down. One Bible verse is referred to, and the rest of it is just talking about what went on that week and what went on at school and what went on at work. And there's a time and place for illustration. But that needs to be illustrating Bible lessons that have already been made. But there was none of that. It's just talk and have a good time. And then we wonder why we're losing folks in the church to the world or to denominationalism. There's not that Bible basis that we need for our lives. Some are not well-versed in the Scriptures. Look at Acts chapter 18. Look at Apollos there. It says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. And when he went to Corinth, verse 28, he reasoned from the Scriptures with these Jews, showing that Jesus was the Christ. We need to be well-versed. Brethren used to be well-versed. Brethren used to know their Bibles backwards and forwards. There are those here this morning that remember that day. But we're getting away from that. Because our Bible classes are getting away from that. Our preaching is getting away from that. And again, not here, I trust, but other places. And so we have to be mindful. Do you think that those Jews in the days of Josiah would have ever thought that the book of God would be lost in the house of God? Do you think that they thought that? No, it just comes on. It comes on when we're not paying attention and when we're not vigilant. And then all of a sudden we have a situation where we're lost in the house of God. We don't get up each morning and say, "Well, I know that we're going to lose God's word. I want to lose God's word." Nobody wants that, but it happens, doesn't it? It happened in 2 Kings 22. It can happen today. And so we have to be vigilant. And I'm certain Keith is, and the eldership here is, and others are. And so that won't happen here. I trust that. And I'm confident of that. But it's happening in other places. Some are not commending God's word. Paul there to the elders at Ephesus, "I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Instead, it's other things. The fun and the entertainment and the good times. It's God's word that's going to build us up and give us that inheritance. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, there's a loss of Bible sharing. What are we going to do with our knowledge? What are we going to do with the Word of God that we've learned from Keith on Sundays in his sermons and in our Bible classes? What are we going to do with that? We need to be taking that and taking it out and
sowing the seed. We call that personal evangelism. We need to be sharing the Word of God with others, and we're slowly losing that as well. The summer program that I had with Brother Frank, one of the things that he impressed upon me was the importance of personal evangelism, and I know he still does that. He had a lesson that he had developed, and he taught me that lesson and showed me how to go out and do that. We showed the Jewel Miller film strips all summer long. But not just Frank, all of us need to be busy doing that in our own way and in the way that we can do that. And some are better at contacting folks than others. And I'll be saying more about this week, that this congregation will grow if we get out and save souls. And we're a small congregation back in Springfield. We have about 30 members, but we have a member there. He's like a magnet. He's able to attract all kinds of individuals, and he keeps me set up with Bible studies. We had one this past Monday at an Arby's in town with two non-Christians. You get out and you have contacts. You have contacts in the neighborhood, at work, and if you don't feel comfortable doing the teaching, get Frank or Keith or somebody. But we've got to share the Word of God. We've got to get the seed out of the bag. Listen, what's happening here on Sundays and Wednesdays is we're getting our bag full of seed, but we just don't get the seed out and plant it. And in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God, but you got to get it out of the bag. Listen, I got a big old bag at Kentucky 31. It's sitting in my garage, and it's been sitting in there for years. It's not going to do any good unless I get it out on the yard on those bare spots that I need to get some. I got to get it out there. I've got to throw it out there. It's not going to do any good in the bag. So what we're doing here, in effect, when we come into the building, it's good. We need this time to be together. But what we're doing is we're filling up our bag. Every week we fill up our bag with seed. But then what do we do with it? We've got to get it out of the bag. We've got to sow that seed. And so we're not taking God's word to the lost. That great commission to go into all the world is still for us today. Some are not inviting others to hear God's word. Turn with me to John chapter 4. The woman said, went back and talked to her own people there, the Samaritan woman, and said, come, see a man who told me all things ever I did. That's what we need to be saying. Come hear Keith. Come to our gospel meeting this week. That is not difficult, brethren. And at the end of the chapter, some came and it said that they believed because they heard for themselves. Not because of what the woman said, but they heard for themselves. They will come in here and they will hear it for themselves. It is not hard, brethren, just to say, come. Will you just come with me tonight? How about come over and have dinner and then we'll go to the gospel meeting tonight. Come with me. That's all she said. And so we've got to invite. We can do that. We can be like this woman. Some are not holding fast God's word, holding fast the pattern. They're letting it go. They're not passing it on to the younger generation. And we wonder why the church is shrinking. We've got to pass it on to others. Well, the lesson is yours. The book of God, lost in the house of God by the people of God. We want to close with just a few practical admonitions. Ask yourself, how was the book of God lost? Turn back to 2 Kings 22 and ask yourself, how was the book of God lost? Well, when you read the story up to that point, you find Manasseh and Ammon being very wicked kings. They're not putting an emphasis on the Word of God. They're emphasizing idolatry and immorality, so much so that there was child sacrifice in town. Child sacrifice! Can you imagine? That's how far away from God's Word they had gotten. Through neglect, through misuse, through ignorance, or just outright rebellion. I don't want to follow God's Word. Either way, God's Word is going to be lost. Somebody says, well, I don't rebel. Well, that may be true. But look at the matter of neglect. Look at the very top of the list, neglect. You know, we don't get up each morning just outright, I don't want God's Word in my life, but just what I call simple neglect. We're busy with work. We're busy with school. We're busy with kids. We're busy with hobbies. We're busy on the internet. We're busy texting our friends. We're busy playing games. We're busy running errands. We're busy with sports. We're busy with this and that. And my kids play sports and do those kinds of things. But we're so busy with all of that that it creeps in, and just through simple neglect, a day's gone by, a week has gone by, and we're not really focusing on reading the Word of God. Busy here and there. Like Martha, cumbered about by many things. The Greek word there is distracted. And Mary chose the good part, to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. We're getting away from that. And what we've got to do, and I would call upon you to do this, as my wife and I, we have to sit down periodically and we have to say, honey, we've got to make some adjustments in our daily and weekly schedule. Some things are getting out of whack. You may need to go home and say, honey, what do we need to make some changes? Because really, when you look at our whole week, God's Word is not really in there as much as it should be. So we need to make some adjustments and do that, and you'll be better for it. But how do we get it back in our life? We get it back. Look at 2 Kings chapter 22 with me again and verse 19. 2 Kings 22:19, because thy heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before Jehovah when you heard what I spoke against this place. When Josiah heard the words of the law, when the king heard the words of the law, come back with me to verse 11, 2 Kings 22:11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. That means he was... had a contrite, humble, repentant heart. We've got to stop this neglect of God's Word. And he made some changes. We need to do that. We may need to have some revival in our life. We may need to have some searching, some soul searching this morning. We may need to get back to doing the Lord's business. We may need to purge worldliness from our life. In chapter 23, they got rid of the idolatry. They got rid of the homosexuality. They got rid of worshiping the sun. They got rid of... a host of other kinds of things. They started back up on the Passover, and the text says there that it had not been observed the way it was supposed to be observed for years, and they're getting that back. We may need to do some revival in our life. Revival is not a denominational word. It's not a bad word. If we want to use a Bible term, renewal, use Paul's term, the renewing of our mind. Whatever it is, we need to make some changes if we see that in our life. And there may be a host of godly brethren here who keep the Word of God at the center of your life. And none of these things that we've talked about this morning may be a problem here. And if so, great. I see it other places. And what happens in other places can happen here in Shelbyville. And so the admonition in a kind spirit and in an encouraging spirit is to keep God's Word in our lives. Otherwise, the book of God will be lost in the house of God by the people of God. And it could be just because we're going about here and there, and it just slowly gets neglected in our lives. We moved to Springfield in 1995. I'd never lived in Middle Tennessee before, and I wasn't familiar with this phenomenon that we have of barns that are smoking. About August, September, these smoking barns up in Robertson County. What is that? Well, they're smoking tobacco. Well, we had a member who had two barns. He was growing tobacco and dark firing it. He didn't smoke, but he was growing it and being a part of that process. But in the local service, he was trying to encourage the young people not to smoke. Well, obviously, that was a contradiction of example there. And so when we moved into town, we stayed with him for the first year. We rented some property with him. And when they started bringing all of that in and hanging it and firing it and all of that, one night after work, I went down when he got home from work and I asked him about that. And we opened up the Bible, and I didn't start in on him. I didn't know whose those barns belonged to, or that crop could have belonged to anybody. I was just giving him the benefit of the doubt, asked him about that. And we opened up the Bible and talked about Matthew 5, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Is that really a good example to set for our young people? And we turned over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, where we're lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And after that Bible study, he said, Chris, I'd only known him for about a week. He said, I am sorry that really that is not the right example for our young people. We can't tell people to stop smoking while I'm growing it. That's just not going to work. He got up the next Sunday and said, my wife and I want to let you brethren know something. This will be the last year we ever do this. We're not going to do this again. We have not been setting the right example that the Bible teaches for us. This man, I spoke to him just yesterday. This man and I have been close. It started with a humble, repentant heart. I shouldn't be doing something, and I need to make that change. And I am not living the way God's Word wants me to live. It's really all about a humble, repentant attitude. Do I need to make some necessary changes to keep God's Word in my life? Well, I trust
that the Word of God is central in your life? If not, and you've seen some things that we've studied this morning that would encourage you to get that back in the focus and in the center, I hope that we've been able to do that. It is God's Word, the implanted Word, which is able to save our souls. You need it. Your children need it. Your grandchildren need it. It's got to be at the focus. There's time and place for those other things. Technology and computers and cell phones and Facebook and Twitter and texting. There's a time and place for that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But keep that at bay. Keep that at a distance, and keep God's Word the priority and the close thing in your life. Thank you for your kind attention this morning.